Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. In yesterday's show, we listened to Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn's jazz interpretation of the music scored for the Nutcracker Ballet by Tchaikovsky. Today, we're talking about Amy Seiwert's interpretation of the classic Nutcracker Ballet. She is artistic director of the Sacramento Ballet, and the show featuring her original choreography debuted last year. This year, it opens Friday, December 12th at the Memorial Auditorium, and continues through December 22nd. Amy's back in the studio with us. Hello.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Happy Nutcracker season to you.
Happy Nutcracker to you.
With Amy in our studio is Isabella Velasquez, who has the role of Marie. And Marie is an updated version. I hope I can say that with all respect. Updated version of Clara. Hi, Isabella.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Do you think it's appropriate to say it that way?
Updated? Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, Amy, how widely are classic ballets like the Nutcracker open to someone else's interpretation?
Well, the Nutcracker, especially in the United States, every major city has their own interpretation of the Nutcracker that happens. So I think as choreographers, when we go to create this, we have to find our own point of view. Otherwise, there's no reason to add your name to the canon.
But you also have to be respectful of the audience's expectations. There are things that they will want in place.
Absolutely.
And in Sacramento, you came in on the heels of three decades of Ron Cunningham, Corinne Binda Cunningham, and that tradition of the Nutcracker. So what did you use for your own kind of guidance or criteria?
Well, and also with Ron and Corrine's version, I danced that version for 8 years. So it was very much in my body and in my psyche. And that version, as well as the one I grew up with in Cincinnati, which was by a gentleman, Freddie Franklin, those two were very much in my heart. But it was also so important to me, again, to find my own point of view with it so I wasn't plagiarizing this work that I had grown up with. I think it was important for me to keep things in very much in the classical language, not make it contemporary in terms of movement style or aesthetic, but to make it contemporary in terms of in terms of our societal mind today.
Your kind of pausing there makes me think, was this a feel more than something you could articulate as you're choreographing?
So in seeing so many Nutcrackers in so many years, I've probably watched at least 50
at
this
point. More than a parent, a child in the show.
So I've seen a lot of different interpretations of this work. And in doing so, oftentimes when I watch a ballet, I think, what would I change? What would I do differently? Mm. And a lot of those things had to do with contemporary sensibilities. It was very important for me to have Marie be a human, be a real person, not be an archetype of a perfect little girl. Things like that.
Well, that is a wonderful segue into talking to Isabella about Marie. Let me go back, though, and find out when you first saw the Nutcracker. Do you remember it as
a
little girl?
Yes, I think I saw the Nutcracker when I was like 6 or 7, and that's actually why I started dancing. So it was definitely a really magical experience.
How do you see the difference in what Clara was in that traditional version and who you were asked to be as Marie?
Well, I think the traditional version, like Amy was saying, is kind of like a fairy tale. Ours is still like has fantasy involved, but Marie here is like more relatable and realistic, I think.
What guidance did Amy give you in knowing what Marie's personality was or what her character would be?
She's very specific with like musicality and stuff and how we would do certain like miming scenes. But like inner character, we kind of were given the freedom to discover on our own, and then she would give us guidance from there.
Hmm.
So it was very natural, like the character that I tried to be on stage. And I think it's a little different for each of the Maries playing the same character. So
who is your Marie then? She's 15 years old.
Yes. She's 15. Everything's like exciting and still new for her. She's still like messes around with her brother, but she's excited about getting to dance with the adults now. She gets really scared at one point, but has to pick herself up by herself. She doesn't have anybody there. So she really goes through the story, and it's kind of like her coming of age story, I would say.
In your version, Amy, Marie and the Nutcracker Prince go through the pine forest.
Yes.
And they go to the Kingdom of Sweets. And what is the way that your Marie is challenged?
So there were a couple things so important to me to put out there. One is that, so the Nutcracker is a triumph of the imagination, really. So, you know, Marie's at the party with her godfather, with she meets his handsome nephew, and, you know, she's involved again. She's coming of age. She gets to, we always say it's the dance she does with the parents is like when you finally move up from the kids' table to the adults' table. Mm-hmm. So that's all happened. And then she falls asleep and she has, of course, this fantastic dream. And in that dream, it becomes a nightmare at a point. She's attacked by all these mice. And in this version of the story, at this climactic moment of the music where oftentimes someone will come out and rescue her, no one does. She falls to the floor and she cries. And it was so important to me to show, especially in a ballet that a lot of children are seeing, that she cries for a little while, then she dries her tears and she picks herself up and she walks through to the next part of the story by herself. I think it's important to show people that you can do hard things and that she had the inner strength to do that. And that's something we discuss, like the crying scene is something that we spend so much time discussing because it's important that it's real and not melodramatic and not too much and not too little.
Marie, will you add to that?
Yeah, for that scene particularly, it's just trying to be as realistic as possible, of course. So when I'm portraying crying, it's once the best thing about the whole act one is you start from the beginning and it's like the way that it flows. Once you get to that point, you're really engulfed in the character. So it just becomes much easier. And yeah.
That is Isabella Velasquez, who dances the role of Marie, an updated version of Clara in The Nutcracker, performed by the Sacramento Ballet. Artistic director and choreographer Amy Seiwert is here. The ballet is December 12th through the 22nd. I want you to hear a little bit of Tchaikovsky's classic Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, and then I'm going to play some of that jazz version from yesterday that we heard. So here's how the music will sound in most of the Nutcrackers across the country. That's so recognizable. Yes. And who are your Sugar Plum Fairies this year?
So we have four ladies who will be dancing Sugar Plum and four ladies who are dancing Marie. So Sugar Plum, Lauren Winterholder, Ava Chatterson, Kaori Higashiyama, and Julia Feldman. Sorry, Julia.
You got it.
Blanking there for a second. What I love about this company is all these artists are so strong and they are all individual. And what they each of them brings to the table are unique interpretations. So even though you're going to see the same choreography every night, you're going to see how they develop those characters differently. And I love that these dancers, I love to give them that freedom and I love that they take it.
So on that word interpretation, let's listen to the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn.
Sugar rum cherry.
There's a little crinkle of your brow.
Yeah, no, I love it.
The pacing would be pretty slow for ballet. Could you ever imagine doing some sort of jazz interpretation with the Nutcracker?
Well, I've actually danced a Sugar Rum Cherry.
You have?
With Smeeman Ballet. That was one of the things that Michael did. And I don't know. My husband is a jazz trumpet player, so I'm very studied in the Ellington Strayhorn version of the Nutcracker.
Have you heard that music before, Isabella?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Yeah. It's really beautiful.
It's
and
really
there are
fun,
nine
though.
Tracks, but it's very different
yes.
from the classics that you're going into. Okay, there are pre-curtain talks. There's a special Nutcracker experience. There is an audio-described performance.
Yes.
There are a lot of details that we will put on our website, but let's get to the children. How many in this year's show?
Well, last night we had a rehearsal that involved 274 of them.
Wow!
Which was wonderful and exhausting and wonderful. I mean, you know, most professional dancers, the Nutcracker is the first thing they do. So I did my first one when I was 8. We have children as young as 6.
Wow.
And they are amazing. And also the way our professional dancers work with those children is fantastic to see.
Well, congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful opening night and a run. Thank you so much for talking more Nutcracker with us.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Good luck, Isabella Velasquez and Amy Seiwert. There's much more about the Nutcracker on our website, which is capradio.org/insight. And again, this year in Sacramento, a reminder that the show is at the Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.
From Sacramento State, this is Capital Public Radio, 90.9 KXJZ FM and HD Sacramento, 91.3 KUOP FM and HD Stockton Modesto, 90.5 KKTO Tahoe City Reno, and 88.1 KQNC Quincy, streaming at capradio.org. We got support from the law firm of Rothschild, Wishick & Sands, LLP, representing individuals and businesses in government investigations and professional licensing proceedings since 1991. Information at rwslaw.com.
My name is Randall White, and I'm the afternoon news anchor at Cap Radio. My first foray into broadcasting was as an intern at a small CBS television affiliate. And one day I come into work, and the afternoon news anchor called in sick. So they said, Randall, how about you? And I thought, yeah. By the time I sit down with my scripts in front of me at the anchor desk, it all started to just become overwhelming. All of my muscles tensed up. I couldn't turn my neck to look at my co-anchor. Did you ever see that episode of The Brady Bunch where Cindy goes on a TV quiz show and the second the camera comes on, boom, she freezes up?
I didn't answer a single question. I was a real dum-dum.
That was me. Unlike my first time hosting TV news, you won't freeze up making your first-time donation to Cap Radio this year. There are no cameras, no audience watching you. All you have to do is visit capradio.org right now to get started, and thanks.
Make your first-time contribution to Cap Radio on the last day of our fundraiser on air. Hi there, I'm Nick Bruner in with Sally Schilling, encouraging you to call 1-800-800-5867, 1-800-800-5867, or like you just heard from Randall White, you don't have to freeze up when you go to capradio.org. Again, the amount of money that I wish I had to find the footage of Randall just staring, terrified, into a camera.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We've come such a long way. We have you to thank for this long way that we've come. 40 years of broadcasting in the Central Valley in Western Nevada. Keep it going right now with your donation.
If you've already donated, thank you so, so much. It means so much to see your name on this list of contributors and hear what programming you're passionate about. If you haven't yet, you might be mulling it over. You know all the wonderful things that come with donating here. You know about the thank you gifts, the grand prize drawing, and that listener contributions are essential to keeping Cap Radio on the air. Now, as we enter this final stretch, it's your time. Do you want to help ensure that Cap Radio is here to stay? If the answer is yes, donate right now.
It's easy to do by phone. All you have to do is call 1-800-800-5867. That's 1-800-800-5867, or make your online contribution at capradio.org.
I just heard my good friend Nick Miller reminding everyone out there that Cap Radio went dark during periods of the fund drive to report on the impeachment hearings, which obviously are critical importance. And it made me realize that, well, one, I listen to Cap Radio all the time and need to donate. And two, that anyone that's an organization that's so selfless deserves my money.
I listen to Cap Radio because I want to have a holistic view. I want both the local news, which they do well. I want it to be objective, which is done well. And I also like the fact that they give me international and world news. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much for making your contribution this drive. If your first impulse is to turn to NPR when an event breaks, maybe like the impeachment hearings that we got out of the way twice for during this last week of fundraising on the air, you know that we're here because of decades of support from people just like you. Don't wait any longer to make your contribution. Help us end this drive right now with your call to 1-800-800-5867. That's 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.
It's the giving season, so you've probably been thinking about making a contribution to some organization to benefit your community. How about a 2-in-1? If you donate now, a portion of that will go to benefit a food bank in your area. Call now, donate online, select that food bank option, and a portion of your gift will go toward buying meals at a food bank determined by your zip code. So it'll be a neighborhood food bank you can feel good about contributing to, along with your station, Capital Public Radio, that you depend on for all kinds of programming that you love. Give now. Now is the time. Capradio.org or call 1-800-800-5867. 1-800-800-5867.
We do it with your help, one donation at a time. Yours is right now. Call us up, 1-800-800-5867. Make a monthly donation to Cap Radio in an amount that makes sense to you by phone or at our website, capradio.org.